Welcome, everyone. I want to thank you all for joining us for our CM for the victims of the horrific tragedy at Meyrone. Thank you for making time to join. I want to specifically note the presence of Ari Morris, who's here, the father of Donnie Morris, who we'll be hearing some words of inspiration and some memories about very soon. My name is Rabbi Sammy Bergman. For those of you who may not know me, I am soon to be the assistant rabbi of Shaar HaShemayim congregation here in Toronto, and also the Sgan Rosh Beit Midrash of the Beit Midrash Zichron Dov. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. Let me just go over the order of events for tonight. Baruch Hashem, the community got together. We're all very moved by the really horrific tragedy that took place just a few weeks ago, and we wanted to do something to join together and to unite, and to unite through Torah. And we began the community. Is everyone hearing me okay? Is the audio bad? Yeah? Okay. And we wanted to do something to commemorate those who were lost. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to unite together and to finish the whole of Tanakh, which is a really wonderful initiative. So we're going to begin by making a siyum with a few Divrei Torah on Tanakh. That will be followed by some words of memories of Donnie Morris of Chronol Bracha, and words of inspiration from Rabbi Tanachum Cohen, who I'm so grateful for agreeing to join us and to speak to us tonight. Rabbi Tanachum Cohen is the assistant rabbi of Beth Abraham in Bergenfield, as well as a Rabbi Yeshiva University High School for Boys, and a very beloved in his community as a teacher and a leader, and who was a Rebbe of Donnie Zichron Livracha. That will be followed by Kel Malei Rachamim, hopefully by Shaar HaShemayim's Chazan Chaim Freund, and we will end with some Tehillim. That is the order of events for tonight. And at this point, we will begin. So I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully everybody will be able to see. Does everyone see? Okay, so I wanted to begin with a few words of Torah from Amos. Amos was the sefer that one of the svarim that I learned in this over the course of this initiative, and this pasuk that we have in front of us from Parakhes Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph, to me really stands out because I really think it speaks to the initiative that we are attempting. I'm having some trouble with this. And it reads as follows. The Navi here is describing the Jews going into exile, and he says that there are days coming, very well known pasuk, days coming, says the word of the Lord God, I'm going to send a hunger in the land, not a hunger for bread or a thirst for water, but rather to hear a hunger to hear the word of God. And I think what's so meaningful about this is that, as Yitzhak Kirtner, Pamir Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, the 20th century, used to explain, is that when the Jews, when Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, go into exile, the Torah also, in a sense, goes into exile. That the Torah itself, Hashem's divine gift that he gave to us, is also not complete when we are not together as a people, when we're not united. And so I think, when thinking about what we've done together as a community here in Toronto and elsewhere to get together and finish Tanakh, it's also a sort of redemption. Because if B'nai Israel, the nation of Israel, and the Torah are so inextricably linked that when the Jews are in exile and dispersed, the Torah is also dispersed, that we can't seek it in the way we used to, that the Torah goes into exile. So if we can gather together and reunite the Torah and gather together and finish Tanakh, then that hopefully is also some sort of redemption in a time where we're so in need of redemption, given everything that's happened in the last few weeks. That's something that really stands out to me about Amos. Moving on to just the end of Tanakh itself, the last sefer in Tanakh is the sefer of Divrei Hayamim. And Divrei Hayamim ends with really just an action-packed chapter. In one chapter, Divrei Hayamim recounts the destruction of the first temple through Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, the last few kings in Israel and Judah, and how they suffered. And already at the very end of the chapter, the Navi tells us about the beginning of redemption, about Cyrus, King Cyrus, who enlists the Jews to return to the land of Israel and to build a house for Hashem, to build a temple. And you see how quickly within this chapter we can go from utter destruction and sadness and tragedy to, in just a few verses, the beginning of a redemption, the beginning of a geula. I think it's noteworthy how the geula begins with even a call from the outside, from a call from a foreign king, for the nation to unite together and to return to our homeland. And recounting the lives of those who were lost in Eretz Israel, in Meron, and as we sort of unite together to commemorate them, I think it's very appropriate to remember this initiative of Jewish people getting together, and to also consider and hope and pray that as we do mourn, and it really was a total korban and a destruction, and unfortunately there have been a few destructions, a few tragedies that our people has recently experienced, the hope is that in a few verses or the like, in a few moments, hopefully we can begin to experience some sort of consolation, some sort of redemption, to have that faith that redemption can come quickly. And that is our hope as we gather together to finish Tanakh today. So let me just read these last two psukim, and then I'll commence with the siyum. The Navi reads, "Vishnat achat lekoresh melech paras, in the first year of Cyrus king of Persia, lechot var Hashem b'fir Yirmiyahu, at the completion of the word of God in the mouth of Yirmiyahu, Heir Hashem ruach koresh melech paras, the Lord aroused the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, Bayavar kol b'machom achuto b'gam b'tavle mor, and issued a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Ko amar koresh melech paras, so says Cyrus, the king of Persia, Ko amam machot aras nasan li Hashem lokei shemayim, God, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms on the earth. Vu pakad alai livnot lo bayi b'rushalayim asher b'yehuda. He's commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem, in Judea. Mi bechem kol amo adnei l'habimo v'yal. Who among you is of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and he may ascend." And with this, we finish Tanakh. Again, thank you to all those who joined us. Thank you to all those who learned with us. We greatly appreciate it. And now I will commence with the Hadron, which I believe the text from this Hadron comes from Rabbi Yonah Reis of Riverdale. I'll try to explain it briefly as we go along. It's a lot of Hebrew text. I'm not going to translate it word for word. But the basic idea is we thank God for this accomplishment of finishing Tanakh. And we celebrate finishing Tanakh. We promise to return to Tanakh. And it's a prayer to God that as we finish Tanakh, that the words of Torah and the spirituality of Torah should stay with us and continue. And as we continue to learn Torah and return to it and inspire ourselves and our children. Hadron alach asrim v'arba sefrei Tanakh, daitan alach v'daitach alon asrim v'arba sefrei Tanakh, v'nit nesei minach, v'tit nesei minan, lo ba'amah adein v'lo ba'amah da'asi. V'hi rotzom mofanach ha'anayel hinu v'lehem v'osenu, asher bachar b'nevi'im tovim, v'ratzab devrehem arim be'amet, shebeschot sefrei Tanakh mikrei kodesh,
Yehud Ashlim Bahava Ba'ach Vereut, Ha'el and Amma Machod Varav, Yamshech Alinu Shefa Ora Chaim Lenefesh, Ruach and Hashem Laharech Yaminu Betov Yirat Hashem, Kol Yamin. Prayer to Hashem that in the merit of finishing all the letters and words of Tanakh, that we should have an inspiration and unite the oral and written Torah and experience unique inspiration from God to live both in our soul and our spirit and to live a long life in fear and awe of God. The Harav Nad Nel Hinu at Divrei Torahcha B'Finu V'Fi Amcha B'Yisrael. The Ni Anachnu B'Tzatzeinu 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 Amcha B'Yisrael. Klonu Odei Shmech Lomdei Tortach L'Shma. Nismah V'Nalo Divrei Talmud Torahcha M'Tzatach V'Kotach L'Om V'Ed. To make the words of the Torah sweet so that we can continue to learn it, and not only should we continue to learn it, but our children's children should continue to learn the Torah. That we should continue to learn Torah beyond just Tanakh, all the Torah, and that we should never disgrace or remove ourselves from continuing the study of Torah. The words of Torah should continue to be precious to us for now and forever for our children and for all generations. And we should continue to live a life of Torah and merit the sanctity of Torah. And in that merit, God should rule over the entire world. And we should see the glory of his kingdom and his divine influence. So may it be his will. And may the words of my prayer be precious to him. Mazel Tov. Thank you very much. Mazel Tov and Nesiyim. At this point, I'd like to turn, please, to Rabbi Tonfim Cohen of Beth Abraham, Rebbe of Dani Zochrono Levracha, to hear a few words in his memory, a few memories, and hopefully some words of inspiration. Please, Rabbi Cohen.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful to Rabbi Torchiner and Rabbi Bergman for the opportunity to join you. On behalf of the Morrises, on behalf of our entire community, we are incredibly touched by the sense of togetherness, the sense of Jewish togetherness that transcends boundaries, transcends international borders. And that sense of togetherness is expressed and communicated by this joint study of Tanakh that the Toronto community has taken on. As Jews, Tanakh is our axiological guide. Tanakh is our core. It's a moral compass. It's a source of guidance. As Rabbi Bergman quoted just a couple of minutes ago from the Navi Amos. And as a group, you've studied all 24 books of Tanakh from the largest to the smallest. I'm going to take a couple of moments together to explore the largest and the smallest. The book of Psalms, Tehillim, and the book of Rus, Megillas Rus. Two which are not only unique in being the largest and the smallest, but also two that are perhaps the particularly of the moment lately. Tehillim has been such a central part of our prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always, and over the last couple of weeks in particular. And of course, Megillas Rus is a central focus of what goes on in the tefillah over the course of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which we celebrated just a week ago. Let's begin with Tehillim. A very simple question. I'm sure Tehillim was split among many different members of the community. 150 chapters, 150 psalms. And there's such diversity. Some of them are happy and some of them are in fright and some are in mourning. And some the psalmist is asking questions and some he's saying thank you. Sometimes he's saying please. Written by many different people over the course of centuries. Some are authored by David HaMelech, by David, who is the general editor of Tehillim, but many were authored by others. Some by more famous biblical figures like Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, and others by less famous figures like Asaph. What is Tehillim about? There's such diversity what brings it together? What is the topic? What is the theme of Tehillim? It cuts every which way. Different authors, different centuries, different moods, different modes. What's it about? And now let's turn to the shortest book in the Tanakh, Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus, where a Medrash directs us to its theme. Megillas Rus is a rich, multi-layered story. And yet the Medrash says, despite all the different aspects of the drama and the plot and the subplot, Medrash tells us that the key focus of Rus is chesed, is kindness. Professor Ivo Meltzer points out in his introduction to Rus that if you consider the six identified characters in the story of Rus, there are three and three. There's, on the one hand, the primary characters, Naomi, her erstwhile daughter-in-law, Rus, and Rus's second husband, Boaz. There are three other, and those seem to be the protagonists of the story. There are three other characters as well who are identified individually. There's Rus's counterpart, her sister-in-law, Orpah, who takes care of Rus, of the their mother-in-law, Naomi, but ultimately leaves her and heads back home. And there's the foreman, Boaz's foreman at the field. And there's Boaz's counterpart on the family side, his cousin, Peloni Almoni, who refuses to take permanent care of Rus. And Professor Meltzer points out that the other three characters, they were good people. Good people who did what they needed to do, who behaved properly. Orpah was decent vis-a-vis her mother-in-law, as was the foreman, as was Boaz's cousin, Peloni Almoni. What distinguishes the three protagonists, Naomi, Rus, and Boaz, is chesed. Is chesed in the sense of going way above and beyond what's expected. Going way above and beyond, going the extra mile. Rus seeks to take care of Naomi, and Naomi seeks to take care of Rus. Later on, Rus and Boaz is taking care of the two of them, and Rus is interested in a marriage that would be best for the family, a marriage with Boaz, rather than perhaps some more obvious marriage partner. And the term chesed appears again and again. These are people who go above and beyond, and I would add, all three of them not only do chesed, but receive chesed. Rus does for Naomi and Naomi for Rus. And Rus for Boaz and Boaz for Rus and for Naomi. They're neither dependent people nor the independent people. Naomi, Rus, and Boaz are interdependent. They're a community built on chesed, a community built on taking care of each other in overflowing ways, not seeking just to check, just to check the boxes and do what they need to do, check in, check out. The people who are spiritually ambitious vis-a-vis one another. Spiritually ambitious in taking care of each other and spiritually ambitious with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God, on their lips throughout. There's such a profound sense, a pervading sense throughout the book of Rus of divine purpose, a clarity of divine purpose on the part of all these three. And if you think about the story some more, it's not linear. It's not as though this one does chesed and therefore gets something else in return. But there's a community of chesed, a sense of taking care of one another and being joined with one another in an overflowing way. And there's an overall progress. That focus on chesed, despite all the pain that the Book of Rus communicates, that sense of chesed and interdependent taking care of one another is what drives all of them forward, ultimately, to the legacy of David and the Messiah at the close of the Book of Rus. And that sense of moving forward in hard times, easy times and hard times, with a sense of God on one's lips, is probably the driving force coming back to Tehillim as well. Because as we said before, Tehillim is such a radical mix of moods and modes and happy and sad and thank you. What ties Tehillim together is that almost every single chapter God is in second person. Whether I understand what's happening, I don't understand what's happening, I'm saying please, I'm saying thank you, I'm happy, I'm sad, but invariably Tehillim redirects us towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It redirects us towards Hashem. In every mood and every mode, whether it's the daytime, the daylight of my life, or it's the nighttime of my life, on a personal sense or on a communal sense, on a national sense, but Tehillim keeps turning us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether I'm ready for a thank you or it's time for a please. The truth is, it's captured in this week's Torah reading as well. We read about a remarkable musical instrument, the silver trumpet, the chatzotros, which Moshe is charged by God to create, to fabricate in advance of the march from Sinai to Israel. And he's told something exceptional about these trumpets. They're used for everything. They're used to call people together to learn Torah. They're used to call people together to travel. They're used in times of crisis, and they're used on Yom Tov and festivals in times of joy. And that's part of the secret of the Jew, is that that same trumpet can express so many different emotions. The Tanakh that we have learned teaches us that lesson, that we can express so many different emotions in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With a focus on chesed, with a focus on overwhelming, overflowing giving, is seeking to go above and beyond what's expected. I'm so awash in memories of Tani, as Rabbi Bergman mentioned. My family and I have many, many dimensions and layers of connection with Tani and with his family. And he was so inspiring, and he's been so publicly inspiring over the last couple of weeks, that he was inspiring for months and years before. And he was a remarkable paradox, because if you knew him, he was one of the more reserved boys in my 12th grade class last year. One of the more reserved boys with such an outsized positive impact. He wasn't loud, and he wasn't in the slightest attention-seeking. He was instead incredibly genuine. He really cared about other people. And he really cared about his Torah learning and about his spiritual growth. And without being loud, he cared. He was persistent, and he made change. A fellow student remarked to me a couple of weeks ago, after Donnie's passing, this student was combing through the school's collection, online collections of pictures, looking for pictures of Donnie. Over the course of 4 years worth of pictures, he found around 200 pictures in all sorts of different contexts, formal, informal, you know, extracurricular events, just around in the hallway with friends. And the student pointed out to you that one of the really remarkable things about the collection of pictures of Donnie is that he felt like in every picture, Donnie's with a different group of boys. He wasn't locked into one clique. He wasn't locked into one small group of friends. He was always with someone else. He brought people in. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. He brought people in. He was the guy who made sure the softball was serious. And he made sure that everyone was included. And he made sure that the games were played in a way that reflected our divine mission. He brought people in. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his life and to the lives of the people around him. And these are some of the lessons. Some of the lessons of Tanakh modeled for us by Dani Zichron Levracha, Nachman Daniel, Ben Yibadol L'Chaim Tovim Aryeh Tzvi. Some of the lessons of how we can make positive change going forward. I want to thank you again for allowing me to Bergman and the entire Kolo. I want to thank the entire community, the entire Toronto community. This means a lot. It means a lot to be together. It means a lot not to feel lonely. And I wish you and us that we continue to work together in Mir Tashem, in positive times and in positive ways. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ray Cohen. Thank you for inspiring words. Yehizikro Baruch. It's really meaningful. And I want to thank you again for joining us. Turn now to my friend Chazan Chaim Freund to please lead us in Kel Malei Rachamim. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining. Hopefully we get together in Tzmachot. May all their neshamot and all their souls' memory be for a blessing. Yashar Koach, may we continue learning together and have a wonderful week. And we only know from Tzmachot, only know from joyous occasions. Thank you all.
All right, Bergman, thank you so much for coordinating all of this from the learning to the Siyum, Rabbi Cohn. Thank you very much for speaking, and I look forward to seeing you for Smachot. Thank you very much, everybody, for participating.